welcome to No Direction Geek Together, where we're going to hang out and just chat about whatever. And this week, whatever is Infinite Possibilities, specifically Pathfinder Infinite and Starfinder Infinite, which is what everyone is talking about today, launch day of those products. Dustin, I'm joined, I should say, I am Vanessa Hoskins, and I am a pseudo-professional. I am joined by Dustin Knight. Dustin.
Hi, I am Dustin Knight. I am also a pseudo-professional, and I am glad to be here.
And I've also got Joshua Hennington with me.
Yes, Joshua here. I am more pseudo-professional, but I do my best.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us. You are a Paizoverse. Tell us about Tell us about the things.
I have done a few publications for Paizo in the past. I've done some Starfinder Adventure Path back matter. I believe most of that's out in the open. I'm responsible for the Maishu in Fly for Your Die. Very proud of my Fae babies. Mm-hmm. I also wrote a Pathfinder quest and scenario for PFS 2nd edition. Mm-hmm. And more recently, I've written a day one product for Infinite, which I'm very excited to plug tonight.
Oh, that is awesome. Okay, so we definitely want to talk about that. You wrote Cantrippers. What can you tell us about Cantrippers?
Well, Cantrippers started when I poured open Secrets of Magic, and I saw this item in there called the Cantrip Deck. And I was like, This is cool. I found out later it was written by Mark Seifter. Very neat item on his part. It's basically like you imagine this is a card. You just have a bunch of cards with different cantrips on them, and anyone can cast them. You can be a monk, you can be a wizard, you can be a druid who's casting telekinetic projectile. And certain modifiers are low, but you can cast any cantrip with these cards. So I was like, what if I expanded on that? What if I made it bigger, more applicable towards spellcasters and non-spellcasters alike? And injected a few Yu-Gi-Oh! Themes. I'm not going to lie to you. I say it's not a dual disc because it's not a dual disc, but it sure is a dual disc. It's strapped to your arm. It's a blade. You put cards on it. You play them.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Cantrippers is like an expansion on the cantrip deck item. Mm-hmm. The lore of it is the Nathesian Church made the cantrip decks. And Church of Irez, the Imperial Lord, was like, this is cool, but what if we made it better, made it randomized booster packs, and put special power inside the cards that they could scale if someone was adept in practicing with them?
That's so cool. And I see that there's like a whole, there's a whole table here of different cantrips.
Yes. Let me tell you. It was so satisfying to make this table because I was like, okay, curable cantrips, they get three entries in the D100 table. We take out prestidigitation because there's one in every pack for lore reasons and also because
it's prestidigitation.
Right. It's prestidigitation. And I take out that non-curable cantrips get two entries. Divine Lance gets one for each alignment. And it was so satisfying to see that added up to precisely 100.
That's pretty cool. That is really, really cool. Yeah, it seems like an interesting sort of just approach to taking a magic item, a wondrous item, and building this, you know, building this archetype around it, building this this whole set of additional rules around this one item. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it. There's an archetype that's themed around the cards, and there's holographic cards in there too.
Ooh, holo cards.
Yes.
Shinies.
A very Starfinder of you.
Yes, very shiny. And the Cantripper archetype is specifically geared towards making the most of the cards. Like, normally the cards have a set DC, a set spell attack modifier, and a set ability score that's being mimicked. In the case of the Cantripper archetype, depending on how you scale in the skills associated with the traditions of the spells on the cards, you can cast them as innate spells. Which scale.
Okay.
Get different abilities that let you scale it beyond trained, because the dedication states you can't go beyond trained, but there's a bunch of abilities that, like, if you trust in your pack with this one feat that I entitled Draw and Draft. You're like, okay, you know what? I trust it. Rip the pack open, pull out a card. I'm not trained. I'm an expert in this. If I'm an expert, I'm a master. If I'm a master, I'm legendary.
Jeez.
That's but cool. My favorite thing beyond tributed prestidigitation is, which is fun, you distribute prestidigitation, treat it as a holo card. I have the absolute audacity to name a feat Heart of the Cards, and I revel in that. You just get to choose once per hour what your holographic card is. Just pick it from any cantrip, not even one of the D100 table. You can pick Invoke True Name if you have access to that spell.
Jeez. That's pretty cool. Okay, but you have access to it, so that's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's really your cool.
Go ahead. Your true name's written right here on the flavor text of the card. I see it now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right?
Right. It's right there.
Ultra rare. Wow. Yeah. And then you just tell Bob to just, this is your true name, Bob. It says so on the card.
This is your true name, Bob. Well, that's awesome. In addition to your product, there are a ton of things up there. I want to take a look at the website with everyone really quick. One of the things that I noticed right off the bat, which is kind of interesting, because, you know, I was just like everyone else, just loading stuff up and trying to see what was out there on day one. And I noticed that I want to see, like, what's new from Pathfinder? What's new with Starfinder? And I noticed that the two sites are identical. Here's Starfinder Infinite, and here's Pathfinder Infinite.
Yeah.
And the only thing different is this logo in the upper left corner, which is just...
petered out, but for now it's launch day. I'm just taking it in stride.
I know, I just think it's really funny.
It is funny.
The other thing that they have done, which is pretty cool, is it's got the newest Infinite titles. So as people keep uploading things, new stuff keeps populating in this list, and you get to be like, oh, there's new stuff, which kind of keeps your eyes on everything. I think it's pretty cool that that's at the top, and then it's basically just a chronological list. Next, you have the newest Infinite Masters titles. Now, this is something that we had heard while we were on a train somewhere, probably at Dustin's house. And this is something we had heard whispers about, this Infinite Masters program, and it was really unclear. Now, there's been a lot of buzz around it, so I'm going to demystify some stuff for y'all. Now, this isn't like official, here's how it is. This is my understanding based on the information I've picked up. There is Pathfinder Infinite, Starfinder Infinite, and then Infinite Masters is like a different category, which is a little weird, but that's how they've defined it. And an Infinite Master title is specifically something written by a known Paizo freelancer, so someone who already writes for Paizo on the regular, like any of the people on the show, and is making a product that directly ties in with a Paizo product. So, yeah. So, for example, if we were to, like I was considering, like maybe writing a novella or a novel that tied in with the drift crash in Starfinder and that adventure path, right? And was like, okay, what if I write the story of like some people who just get stuck in the drift, right? So some people are booted out, some people are stuck in there and can't leave. Maybe I'll just write about that. And you have a whole crew of folks just like stuck on their starship together for however long it takes. And what do they do to survive? Because, you know, they didn't bring enough supplies for months at a time. They were just making a quick trip of a few days and then they were done. So how do they... What's that?
There's so much food the dispenser can do for you.
Yeah, right. You're sick of eating that UPB paste. And you're just like, I don't want to eat this anymore. Maybe the Yosoki's looking mighty tasty. So,
oh, no.
So if I were to write that, it would be a tie-in to the adventure path. And because I'm a Paizo freelancer, I would be able to sell it as a master's product, an infinite master's product. Versus if I was just writing like a new class that didn't really tie into anything or a new set of feats just for fun. Those would probably just be regular Pathfinder Infinite or Starfinder Infinite materials. So it doesn't have to do with the author necessarily. It's a combination of like the author and how it ties into an existing product, which is kind of interesting.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. I've seen a lot of buzz already about like Ron Lundeen's Abomination Vault GM guide. I have.
Yes.
Yes.
That is a perfect example. So.
And an excellent resource, what I heard.
It looks pretty cool. It is on my to buy list, but I haven't gotten around to it because I've had a busy day. Mm-hmm. But basically it makes a lot of things succinct. So one of the things that happened with Abomination Vaults is it got released and it was definitely marketed to new players and new GMs for the Pathfinder role-playing system for 2.0. And a lot of these folks were coming over from 5e or something or some other system, where in other systems, they have a habit of like putting everything, like putting all the monster stat blocks, all the items, all the whatever in the adventure. So even though they're in a core rule book or a monster manual, bestiary, whatever, somewhere, they just put them all in there. And so it was a little bit shocking to those folks when they picked this up and are like, wait, it says that there should be this mintflit, and it says it's in bestiary on page whatever, but it's a different book I have to buy. What is this? Come on. I bought this adventure. I want the adventure. So one of the things this product does is, yes, you can go get it online for free and do all this stuff, but it just makes it easy. So this is a product of convenience that says, let me take all the stat blocks and put them in one place. Let me take, let me give you charts for all the little side quests, because there's a million side quests in Abomination Vaults. It's very sandboxy. There's a lot of stuff you can do where you can look around and like, maybe you want to, you know, maybe you just want like a checklist as the GM of like, what did they do? What did they finish? And it helps you with that. So I think we're going to see a lot more AP guides, maybe from Ron, maybe from other people. The other thing that I want to mention about this, because I was floored. Ron Lundeen wrote the Abomination Vaults GM's Guide entirely out of templates and material that Paizo gives to folks who are writing for the Infinite platform. So even though he is a seasoned developer and author, even though he, I'm sure, knows tons of people who could have done fancy layout for him, he said, you know what, I'm going to use the tools that we're giving people, make sure they work, right? I'm not sure that's right. What he said, but I imagine that is what he said, because that's what he did. And he went, and they have these templates that you can use and go and pull down and say, okay, I'm writing for Infinite. Here's a Microsoft Word template that has, here's where everything goes, and here's what your style should look like. And you just sort of plug them in. Save as PDF, boom, done. And that's how he built these, which is pretty cool that he's like, no, you can really use the tool. Here it is. And I have to say, that is one of the things I am most impressed about this, I think. It is was very surprising to me when they announced Pathfinder and Starfinder Infinite that they were opening their IP to everyone, because that is something that they have like kept super close to the vest this entire time. We don't want anyone playing in our sandbox unless we tell you to. Like, play our adventures, but don't mess with it. And then all of a sudden they said, you know what? Go ahead. And not only did they do that, but they geared this so strongly for individual content creators who are like, I just have this cool idea for a class. I just have this cool idea for an archetype. I just have this cool idea for whatever. I can now just type it up, write it up, and it helps you with the styles. It helps you with all that in their templates. And then I can post it and sell it for a few bucks. And like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And expanding on adventures, being able to use maps of same exact areas, if you want to expand on an existing adventure, is really exciting too. Because I mean, I know there's a lot of PFS scenarios I've played where I've been like, oh man, my players want to go off and do this weird thing that isn't covered by the adventure. I could totally write like an entire 16 pages that people could use to expand upon this little nugget of an adventure and make it something for their campaign.
Oops, I should go back on to us. Oops, I am a great producer. I forgot to switch back to the talking heads. I think like you were saying, expansions on existing material. We're going to see a lot of places where people like love a specific area, a specific NPC, a specific whatever it is, and are like, I just want to expand on it, including original authors of that content. It's not exclusive to them, but like, if I wanted to write more about Meta, who was in the Solstice Scar, I could go write about her. I could write about the Phantom's backstory. I could write whatever I wanted. It's pretty cool. And then release it as a product of some sort. And instead of before, where I'd have to be like, well, I hope Paizo lets me write this. I can just do it. I should mention really quick, Severin Loria in chat wants me to write a novella of the band in the tavern in a thing that I wrote without spoilers. So if you were familiar with a thing that I wrote that has a tavern and a band, Severin Loria would like to have a novella. That would be pretty cool. Jeez. So what is your favorite part of this? Josh, what was your favorite thing about, like, Infinite being there and existing? Obviously, you released the Cantrippers.
Cantrippers, I have plans for more content. If this takes off, there's content for adventures. And honestly, I like the concept of letting anyone, even in a non-canonical fashion, being able to dig into the lore, stake whatever claim there may be, and just say, but what if it was like this?
That's cool.
And I saw Lava Being in chat say there was something for more one-shot adventures. I actually have one of those planned in the works, and I hope I see more adventures like that in the future, because one-shots is practically a perfect format that can be used in Infinite.
Totally. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That is a great thing, and one-shot adventures can be tricky, especially with pre-gens. You need to make sure, like, everyone's got something to do and a moment to shine, and everyone shines equally. That's kind of a balancing act. But yeah, what a great opportunity to just be like, I'm going to write one-shot adventures with these characters.
Yeah, it's just a self-contained story, which you can easily do on the platform of Infinite. It lends itself to that.
Very cool. Good idea, Lava Being.
Good idea, Lava Being. Yeah, and I definitely want to see expansions of stuff where, like, okay, for example, I'm looking at writing a book based on a paragraph about card games in Grand Bazaar. And I know that, like, the book just came out, so I doubt Paizo, unless it's in society, is going to expand upon that anytime soon. But there's not really enough there to use it in your campaign without making an entire homebrew system for. So making just a even if it just comes out to 12 pages or so, making an entire subsystem based on just a sentence or a paragraph that really interests you will really help expand the Lost Omens lore for everyone.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I think you're right. Before we get too off, there is a product that you wanted to talk about, Dustin, that I think is pretty cool. It is right up my alley. Can we talk about the Spell Trickster?
Oh, yeah, sure. So my first product that I've been working on is Infinite Archetype Spell Trickster. It is going to be an expansion on the existing archetype that was released today in Grand Bazaar. The Spell Trickster dedication has a bunch of feats. Each of those feats lets you modify an existing classic spell. So for example, the Mage Hand lets you pickpocket people. It's kind of like the Arcane Trickster, except it's not strictly arcane. Any tradition could do it. And it's not strictly roguish talents. Mm-hmm. Plenty of them are just like a stinking fireball or what have you. Yeah. And in this case, because the class is so modular like that, I believe that adding all these new feats to it, just finding spells that I'm like, oh, I want this spell to be able to do that new feat. It shouldn't throw it out of balance, because you still have to know the spell. It's just modifying an existing spell. Mm-hmm. You still have to spend the feat. And I'm also throwing in some lore there about a group of spell tricksters who kind of found each other and share their lore with each other and try to develop new spells, and a bit of backstory of the founder. And I'm considering some consumable items that let you potentially use these modifications just once, but make those very uncommon because it's doubtful that spell tricksters would readily want to sell their secrets like that.
Well, I know for me, the spell tricks and things, the magical trick feat in first edition was one of my favorites for spellcasters. Specifically, the floating disc one where you could fly around on a disc was amazing. Yes. I had the opportunity to write. What's that?
I just remember the monster in Pathfinder that it was an astral creature. It's basically just rode floating discs around the astral plane. And I thought that always was amazing.
That's super cool. That's super cool. Well, like, so I love it so much. I had the opportunity to write more magic tricks in first edition, and that was super cool. And so when I had heard that they're in Grand Bazaar, I was like, I definitely want to take a look at this. I haven't had a chance to. I know today it was like at the street gate, so I'm like waiting to get my copy, but I wanted to take a look because I cannot wait to see what they did with them in second edition. Seven Lori in chat says that they would absolutely buy a 100 plus book just of new spell tricks. I don't know if that means 100 plus pages. So can you write 100 plus pages of new spell tricks?
I would rather write 8 books of 12 pages each.
That sounds like a much more reasonable plan.
And much more marketable, frankly.
Probably, right. Yeah.
All right.
And
like you've got yourself a line. Spelltrickster 2, Spelltrickster 3.
Is it too audacious to call the first one Spelltrickster 1?
I mean, not if you're planning on more.
I'll call it episode 4 just to make people wonder where 1, 2, and 3 got.
Oh, sure. Well, it could be like the Pathfinder Society Chronicles where some are just missing and they're like, where did it go? And you're like, we don't talk about that one. Just missing. It's fine. Don't talk about it. Okay. Don't ask. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and super props really quick on Infinite Archetypes. Infinite is amazing using your last name like that. I freaking love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It is like perfect.
Oh, thank you very much. I was trying to figure out how to market it after reading Alex Agunis's How to Start a Business, Infinite Possibilities article, which we could get into later if you want.
We should absolutely talk about that. So yeah, we did a No Direction, did a series of blog posts today looking at Pathfinder Infinite and Starfinder Infinite from a variety of angles, including how to start a business, some of the legal ramifications of it, some things to think about. If you wanted to freelance, how do you get into it now that there's this brand new platform, like a bunch of stuff. So definitely.
Exactly.
Go,
yes.
Yeah. So definitely go check those out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Like even I've been preparing to get into this business for years. And then I could say I've been in this business now for a couple of years, and there's still tons of stuff I learned reading those articles. No matter how experienced you are, there's tons of tips, tons of great features and tons of details into what it means to get in the Infinite program. So if you're confused after reading that FAQ, you should check out those articles.
All right, cool. Now, is the spell trickster out yet?
Technically, it is because the book came out today. My book will be out this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Probably, hopefully, yes.
I was trying to find it on there. I was like, where can I link it? Because I know people are like, where is it? Severin Laurier, it's like, I want to buy this thing. Well, it's not ready
yet. Yes, no, it will be shortly.
Very cool, very cool. Do you want to take a quick preview at some of it?
Sure.
You're not sure?
Yeah, right, sure. Well,
so here's the first couple pages that maybe I stole, maybe you sent me. I don't know. The audience can decide. Taking a look at it. And it looks pretty well laid out. It's got a lot of information about different types of people that are doing spell tricks. It's kind of fun.
Yes, you thank you.
Can I say I love this adorable little pipe fox in the corner, like curled up around the graphic design element?
I am so happy to use Paizo's illustrations like that. I wasted at least like 6 hours yesterday just playing with pipe foxes and playing with different other monsters and little elements like that. I'm so happy that Paizo let us use, because like the art elements alone are worth every percentage that Paizo is throwing at us. Like it is such a boon.
Oh, yeah. No, for the story I'm writing, I ordered custom art for the cover because I wanted like specifically the main characters I was writing and blah, blah, blah. So I didn't use their stuff. Sure, fine. But it cost me a lot of money. Let's just say I don't expect to make any money off of this product. It might as well be a vanity product because it was that expensive. But I wanted to do it right. Now, on the other hand, yeah, if you just want to be like, this is cool Paizo art, I got to do this. Hold on. Everyone just. Chill out. I'm gonna fix this for a second here. Here we go. Here's the cover again. I noticed, like looking at this, you used a ton of different Paizo art assets and just sort of put them together in honestly a wonderful way with some great cover graphic design work, centering this wonderful gnome casting a marvelous spell of multicolored dragons. I love it. I love her. I want to be best friends. You need to do art. You're like, cool, I got all this Paizo art. And just stick it on the cover. So good.
Yeah, yes. There's a lot of good art out there that's both community use and or is in the art packages. In fact, I think some art packages just got uploaded today, just like a few hours ago.
Oh, okay, cool. I know that there was some stuff out there. Community use is vast. There is so much information. If it is ever shown up on a Paizo blog and isn't a photograph or art that belongs to somebody else that was licensed specifically for the blog, then you can use it. There is a huge amount of stuff that you can use that is blog art because it's got a dozen years of blog art or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pathfinder Wiki is a great resource to try to find what you're looking for. And then the blogs themselves tend to be tagged well as well. So.
Okay, great.
Yeah, even things that aren't official things, like the April Fool's Day art, that's technically community use. Mm-hmm. You can make your Desert Drake content adventure if you want to.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I'm just so excited. I am also really excited to see all of the fiction coming out. It was a thing that when it was announced, a lot of people hadn't thought, oh, what if we release fiction? And I remember seeing a lot of the FAQs start to update themselves for like fiction specific responses, where they're like, oh, people want to write fiction. Okay. Because at first I remember early FAQs said you have to have, like the OGL in the background, but for fiction, I'm not writing game rule content here. Like, you know, why do you need the OGL? I'm not using the OGL. And it was like, oh, okay, well then you only need the Infinite license and legal text and not the OGL legal text. Interestingly enough, means you can't use proper names and things from the OGL.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
So like, and I want to throw this out there for all you newbie designers out there. Don't like, you know, step on something. Like, if I'm writing a story, and I will, and I have, I can't write so-and-so cast magic missile, or that was a great magic missile spell, because magic missile is an OGL thing. Like, in that word, I could say, wow, you cast a great missile, but that sounds weird. It's like, launch the ICBMs. And then I could say, like, you have great magic, because those are just words by themselves are fine, but magic missile in reference to a spell is definitely an OGL thing, and I would need the OGL in my fiction in order to use it, and then my story becomes open gaming content. A weird legal space. This isn't a game. This is a story. So basically the general practice is don't use the OGL and then don't reference things in it, which makes it really tough for me. I'm writing a story that has an Asimar girl. I can say that on stream because this is community show, but I can't sell a product that references an Asimar unless it has the OGL in it. Speaking of which, this is the cover of Vellum and Lace. Episode 0, this is our prologue, called Moving Day, which is pretty cool.
I love that art.
It is by, Sheppy Rodriguez, who, Sheppy is a normal sort of, like he's a regular Paizo artist doing all sorts of art for them. He does, he did all the adventurous characters on No Direction here. I play over with the Roll for Combat folks and he does all their character work too. Like, he's just an amazingly talented artist and is my go-to. So I went, Sheppy, you gotta fit me in your schedule. I know you're very busy, but I gotta have this book cover. And he's like, how about line art? And I'm like, I can do that. So the full color stuff is coming, hopefully for the first real episode. For our prologue, line art. But this is what we got. But that is
awesome.
But that is out. The prologue is out for the cheap price of 50 cents, which is the minimum price that you can set something on Infinite. Or you can set for other prices, but they recommend nothing cheaper than 50 cents. And I wanted to make it free, and you can make it free. But the other thing I found out that's sort of a weird, I don't know, just the way they do their statistics. So in order to be like a top seller or to get the badges of like, you got copper, you got silver, you got gold, you can only do that if you actually sell it for something. Which is weird. So if you sell it for anything less than 20 cents is officially what it is. So anything up to 19 cents, they just ignore. They don't even look at. And so we were like, it'd be kind of nice to get those ratings. So we sold it for 50 cents, but the normal episodes will be $2 a piece once per month. And I see Mr. Stephen Glicker from Roll for Combat himself in chat saying it's not art, line art, it's color by numbers. This is line art, color by numbers.
It's dark vision. I don't know.
Yeah, it's dark vision. This was in the middle of the night. Someone cast darkness. There's like a tiefling watching them running toward the camera. This is what you're saying.
Yes.
Someone will cast Daylight for next month, and then you'll actually get to see the full color render, which will be really cool.
Ooh, awesome. Yeah. I love that logo, too. Was that... Who did that?
I'm going to pull it back up here. A combination of Helen and I. So Helen is my co-author on this. She has written books before. She writes a retelling of Camelot, which is pretty cool. So she sold some novels. Someday I'll get her on a show like this and she can plug her own stuff. But she's been in the fiction scene for a while and I had known this. So when I wanted to write something, I said, I want to pull in someone who's more familiar with fiction to make sure I don't step in it. And so we decided to become co-authors on this project and own it equally. For the logo, we kind of both came up with it. So Helen grabbed some fonts and we looked at them and we decided on this particular one. And then I wanted to do something neat with the ampersand. We looked at like 10 different ampersands, didn't like any of them. And I liked the idea of an ampersand rather than the word and.
Right.
And then I said, well, what if I just make it? Because there's another popular tabletop role-playing game that happens to have an ampersand in their name that does some cool graphic design stuff. And I said, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll do something like that. So you get a vellum scroll and you get like a ring of lace, a little bit of a lace border that might be on the edge of, I don't know, a doily or underwear or who knows. It's a sexy comedy romp that also is serious. It's got some interesting serious elements. It'll definitely feel like an adventure by the time you get to the story. And it's fun. Lava Being says it's a coloring book for adults, adult coloring book. It's not adult. Everything, this is a good time to mention, everything on the Infinite line has to be PG-13 or you know, or what would be PG-13 or less adult than that. So PG-13 is the highest potential rating in terms of what content can be in there. This story definitely is following that rating, but it's got some sexy stuff in it, you know, whatever. It's got references. It's fine. Some humor that the kids might not get. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, as long as the kids don't like, mommy, what's up? Then it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
We do have some questions for chat. Lava Being asks, is the pay what you want option the only option for free content? No, you can just make something $0 and people cannot pay you for it. Or you can make it pay what you want and then you put a suggested price in there. But when they check out, they can just change it to whatever they want. So you could be like, pay what you want, $2. And then they're like, you're awesome. Here's 10 bucks. Or they can be like, I want this for free. Zero. Ha. Whatever they want to do. Let's see what else we have. People are saying, oh yeah, Evil Robot Games is saying regular storefront, yeah, pay what you want is an option. Only sales over 20 cents count toward medals, like we talked about. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Steven from Wolf for Combat wants to know what food places are in the book. There will absolutely be food places in the book, and you will just have to read the story to find out.
If I can diverge briefly, I know a friend of mine, Joe Blomquist, is working on a dive bar guide to Absalom Station and Starfinder Infinite. So,
okay, cool.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't have a segue for that, but I saw your note in chat. There was one other product that we wanted to take a look at. Let me see if I can pull it up really quick. Why don't you talk about it?
There we go.
Oh, yes. My friend Sasha also came out with this very neat gunslinging druid class archetype. It's a class archetype that's exclusive to druid. It's very much themed towards the mana waste. Mm. And it's like, yes, you're a bounded spellcaster druid, but you A, get guns, B, get basically two druid orders.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's more like you modify one of your druid orders, and you also get a fun focus spell that lets you enhance your primal powers. And a very fun feat you can take even at level one, roving alchemy. You can make bullets as a basic alchemy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what other order you selected, you can get herbs, you can get poisons, you can get bombs, you can get mutagens.
One thing I really like about this, so it's called the Ravaged Rover.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. And one thing I liked about it is that if you look at Guns and Gears, if you haven't yet, go get it. It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
The people who worked on it, very talented creatives. Oh, my goodness. But one thing about Guns and Gears is you look at the variety of guns, right? And it's not like, here's a pistol, here's a rifle, here's a shotgun. Well, yes, we have those. But they also have guns that are creatures? Wait, what? This is even something I knew I wanted.
These guns.
The mutant animal companion feat really speaks to having a beast gun and also having a companion that's just a mutant that's like a lizard. But it also kind of fights like a bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just
benefit one or the other. There's a bunch of really fun things in here.
And like, but I was thinking like, okay, so druids are natural order and all this stuff, but like, and you're like, gunslingers obviously use firearms, and that doesn't mesh at all. But I like how this like makes that work together. And I think in a fantasy setting like Galarian, like we have, you can make that work because you have guns that are literally just a lizard. You have, you know, why can't you do a gun that's a natural order piece of equipment, like that makes sense within your druidic bonds. And so I think that's really cool. It's very, very interesting.
It can be made naturally, so as long as you are an ethical consumer of black powder, I see no problem with it on a druid personally.
That's right. Well, that's pretty cool. So yeah, I definitely want to check that out. Lava being asked, are there any products available in physical format yet? The answer is no. So Pathfinder and Starfinder Infinite are hosted by OBS, which is One Bookshelf. And One Bookshelf also owns like Drive-Thru RPG and Drive-Thru Fiction and all these drive-thru stuff where you can do print-on-demand things, right? You can say, I want that book, but I want it printed. And it goes into the queue and eventually gets printed and then sent to your home. And you're like, yay, I have a physical product. I'm so happy. They're not doing that yet.
I'm hopeful that they do.
I think a lot of us are.
Compilation once I'm down the road with more cantripper products will be amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, totally.
Oh, I 100% want to take the first major plot arc of Vellum and Lace and just make it a novel. Absolutely. Oh, that'd
be awesome.
So one of the things that, yeah, not OBS, the video software, Dragon Dollar says, a different OBS. Think of it just like DriveThruRPG, except it's Starfinder, Pathfinder. It even looks very similar. It's basically a mirrored site, except filtered. So one of the things that's interesting, though, is they don't want to do print yet. And I think this is wild conjecture.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing is waiting to see how like successful the platform is. Mm. Because print on demand resources, my understanding from like talking to other people about print on demand resources, can be very heavy. Like it's a big investment, right? And then if people want to do it and go wild with it, it could really cram up those queues. And my understanding is right now OBS's queues across their platform for print on demand stuff are pretty full. So they might be like, you know what? Right now is not the time to put another big bit of pressure on our print queues. Maybe when they clear up, maybe when we get more resources toward that. So I think we're going to see that in the future. I think we're just not going to see it for several months.
It makes it more, makes it a lot easier for the content creators too, because there's a whole set of stuff you have to do if you want your book to be print on demand ready, like in the Dungeon Masters Guild. There's a whole page of stuff you have to do to your PDFs and layouts, because otherwise it's not going to look good.
It's not going to look good. And exactly. And so one of the things I think, because of this, because of exactly the reasons you've stated, like it has to be a certain number of pages and like, or it's just going to be weird. Like there's a lot of things you have to do to sort of follow the rules. And so I think what's going to happen, again, wild conjecture, is that at some point they will turn that on. At some point they'll let us do it. But they also are marketing Pathfinder Infinite and Starfinder Infinite for brand new content creators. Like, yes, existing creators like me, like you, like Josh, both of you are going in there and making cool stuff. But it's also a great platform for people who haven't published anything yet and are like, I want to self-create this. And throwing the additional burden of, do you want print on demand? Yeah, that'd be cool. Great. Follow these 87 steps. And they're like, I just don't want to do it.
If it gets off the ground first.
Yeah, let's get some content in there. Let's get some stuff going. And then once people are feeling comfortable with the platform and are like, oh, I've published 7 things on Infinite, it's actually pretty easy, then they can say, oh, now we have print on demand. And they go, oh, Well, what's this? Now that I've gotten used to creating my own products, now I can look at the print on demand, 87 things you have to do, and go, oh, okay, I think I can go and revamp some stuff and make this work. But there's sort of enough rules you have to follow at the beginning just to get stuff on there that it makes sense that they would hold
that off. I get that. On the top of 87 things I have to do, life calls, so I'm going to have to leave the stream for now. It's been a pleasure talking with y'all.
It has. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. I need to fix your head, Dustin.
Oh, no.
Those good old Zoom calls. All right. Let me get you to not look like that, and then we'll continue. Anyway, so Josh is awesome. I'm so glad he was on with us because he's a super cool guy. I kind of want to go talk to him more.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, man. So I'm trying to think what else I can talk about with Infinite. Oh, yes, 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 yes. So I did have an okay to mention on stream that, yes, I could say 100% sure, that Alex Agunas is making a Pact Worlds Kitsune PDF at some point.
Oh, that's cool.
To nobody's surprise. No, I'm kidding. No, that would be great.
Yeah, seriously. Like, what? There's going to be Pact Worlds Kitsune? That doesn't make sense.
Yes, so we will have more information on the Ancestry than literally a card from the Ancestry deck.
Right? But that is so cool. But this is what I mean by Infinite and why I'm personally very excited about this. Because it lets people, not just like Paizo freelancers, Paizo employees that freelance, sure. But it lets anybody say, I want this to exist in the game. I want other people to see this thing I've created. I know folks that do conversions and stuff that are like, I spent a bunch of time converting this adventure path and it's pretty cool. I wish people would look at it right now. It's a link in the forum somewhere. And wouldn't it be neat if I could just be like, hey, now you can actually see it. You can have it for free. You can buy it for a buck, you know, pay me for my labor, but you can just go get it. And that's really cool.
Right, right. And we do have a question real quick. Lava Beans asking if Infinite shares the same account and login information as the other One Bookshelf platforms. It does,
yes.
But you have to log in again, even if you're logged in on the other site, at least for me.
So to techno speak a little bit, it authenticates to the same place. The username and password's the same. You change your password one site, it changes at the other. But like the login cookie that says, hey, you're logged in, will look different because it is a different site. So yeah, you got to log in again. But that's also why when people had first started on Infinite and they're like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and log in. I have to create an account and here's my stuff. And it goes, that already exists. Get lost. And you're like, who registered my account? No, it's the drive-through one. It's all unified.
Yep.
Good question, Lava Bean. Good question.
Very good question.
I'm trying to think of all the gotchas that we've run in here on day one.
Right.
That people need to know about.
Oh, if you do work your Infinite product in Word, check what happens in the PDF and try some different settings depending on your word processor and your PDF printer, because you're in virtual printer, because if you have a long, long, long book and you expect people to be able to control F through the PDF, it's not going to work. So you might want to learn about hyperlinking PDF bookmarks, which you could find a YouTube video on somewhere, because that will take too long to explain here.
Yes. Okay, good. Good. That's a good one. I did not know about that, actually.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Subversions of Word will like split the words for the four. They'll put spaces between letters so that the words will stretch properly in the PDF. Then if you're searching for like Fox, you might have to search F space OX or FO space X.
I see. And like
Fox.
A proper professional layout program won't do that. It'll just do the kerning for you, but it's still Fox. It's still FOX. It's not F space OX.
Which, if you check on No Direction, one of our articles on Infinite Possibilities will actually show you some great cheap and or free editing software for PDFs that will work better than Word.
That is cool. I'm definitely going to look at that. Right now, Helen does all of our proofing, all of our publishing of the files, because she is very good at it and very practiced at it. So I just let her handle that piece of it. And I handle other pieces, like social media.
Yes.
That's a good point.
My process. Very cool. It's working. Yes.
One thing that I thought was interesting on sort of the do's and don'ts, you have to, like, logos are really weird, right? You have to put the Pathfinder or Starfinder, whatever you're writing for, logo on the front of your product. And and it should match whatever game system you're writing for, as opposed to whatever world you're writing for. What does that mean? So, for example, Owen Casey Stevens has a product that's not out yet called Shadowfinder, which is super cool. And what it is it's like Pathfinder, but modern era, or modern-ish. Right. So you have modern levels of technology, modern-ish. But it's using the Starfinder system, which is kind of interesting. And because it's Starfinder system, it would be a Starfinder Infinite product and not a Pathfinder Infinite product, but all of the IP is Starfinder. Isn't that weird?
Gotcha.
So you have to put that logo on the front, whichever game system you're referencing. And for fiction, I guess it's whatever world, because who knows how to interpret that. But you have to have just that logo on the front. You can have your title. You can have bylines. You can have that stuff. You can't have any other logo on it.
Right. Yes, that was something I was lectured on very, very nicely.
Yeah, it's, which is like super surprised me, but I think they really are, like, I think this is an indication that they are billing this and trying to push toward new content creators, not existing third party publishers, to be like, let me put my stuff over there. Although obviously they will. But also like, hi, Owen. But also like Owen and Rogue Genius Games are creating new content. Like in this case, they're using Paizo's IP. They can't just go to Drive Thru and wherever and publish this stuff. Like,
right.
This is the only place they can do it. So in terms of the logos, they can put Rogue Genius Games on the inside cover.
Yes.
But that's it. Which is one of the reasons why, like, I remember commending you, and I'm just going to pop it up again, for this graphic design looks awesome. And if you do more products, and I hope you do, it should look similar to this.
Yeah.
Because then when people see it, they're like, that's an Infinite thing. I know that's an Infinite. I recognize that cover. I don't even have to see the text or the picture or know what it is. I can just see the image and go, that trade dress kind of looks like the cover of something that Dustin wrote. And then
yeah,
that's the way you can
Thank you.
Get around the rule.
Yeah, thank no, you very much. And yeah, make sure you use
it's beautiful. It's
oh, so thank you. And if you do something like that, make sure you know everything dealing with royalties and commercial use and mm-hmm. buy those stock images that you use. Absolutely. Like I had to buy the copper texture. I had to buy the blueprint texture. Yeah. Make sure you know what you're doing there. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, this is not legal advice. We are not lawyers. But our non-legal advice that is about legal matters is to get your licenses. Make sure everything you have is properly licensed. That is excellent advice. You can't just Google search Kitsune with Railgun and then throw in your products, right? I'm sure it's cool art, and whoever put it on DeviantArt is like an awesome artist, but you can't just put it in your product. You have to have it properly licensed. I was going to say, when you upload, there is a check mark that you have to say, I certify that I have the right licenses for all the artwork that appears in this book.
Yes. And that includes your fonts, which little note, Paizo does have 4 free fonts, samples that they've posted that go along with the Word document that you could use. Those are fine because the fonts specifically say on the site where you download them, these are free for commercial use and et cetera, et cetera. And there's more to it than that, but
mm-hmm.
make sure you own the fonts that you're using. Make sure they are licensed for commercial use.
We had a situation where we were looking at like cover fonts, right? And like, what do we want to use? And I had one. I'm like, I love this font. I think this is a really cool font. And Helen's like, oh, I looked that up. It's not for commercial use. I'm like,
yeah.
What? There were other fonts I looked at that I was like, ooh, I could use this font for a thing, or I could do that. And like, I had to go buy the font, or some of them are like free for personal use, but for commercial use, you have to pay me. And it's like, okay. So just make sure you have all those licenses and ducks in a row. Anything else to say about fonts?
Fonts could be very pricey. Fonts could get more expensive than you'd think. Well, there's a reason too. They're hard to make. I mean, you have to make every letter form. I mean, they take time. It's a legitimate skill. It's an amazing skill. It's awesome. And I had to go through that the hard way. After in graphic design school, we would kind of freely share fonts with each other when we were students. And we'd end up with hard drives with like 11,000 fonts on them. And then when we'd graduate, we'd have to be like, yeah, I'm throwing all these out because I don't own any of these and we can't use any of these.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice for, I'm turning this in for a class, but if you want to actually use them in the real world, you got to pay for that stuff.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's so many fonts out there for commercial use that aren't ridiculously expensive. If you find one and fall in love and it's way too much money, just look for another one that's like $2 or $5 or something.
Yep. We do have a question that I want to know the answer to as well. Sure. Can products be updated after they're first published for sale?
Oh, that is Lava Bing's question. They sure can. So there is, if you are a content creator and you go in to my account, you can go into my content and there's a bunch of links. One of them is edit something. And you click edit and it says, okay, and you're going to do a search of what the thing is because they assume that you have dozens of products. And if you only have one or two, you can just search for nothing and it will show all of your stuff. It's pretty cool. And then you find the product that you want. Oh, by the way, I only have one product. It doesn't even show it to me. It just goes into it. It's super cool. So it'll go in there and then I can change whatever I want. This is also how, if you've uploaded something, but it's going live on like Friday, you can manually push the go live button, or you can go and schedule it to go live at a certain time. You can do that. You can replace the files with new files. You can replace the cover art with new cover art. So like if I were to earn a cool badge through the site, I would probably update the files and the cover art and re-upload it. My understanding is folks who had already gotten it will just get a thing. Evil Robot Games is saying that you can choose to notify customers. So if I was just throwing a seal on there, I probably wouldn't notify customers.
Right.
But if I realize that page 5 is missing, I would probably notify customers that page 5 was missing, and they're allowed to have that content.
That makes sense. Yeah. Cool. So if you have a major errata, you should throw it at your customers. Yeah.
And notify them. Awesome.
Yeah.
Dragon Elvish is saying the need to play with Affinity more. That is sort of an alternative to InDesign that is not horribly expensive like InDesign is.
Yes.
Severn Laureate says that your name is going to be Infinite in about 2 years. Just look at Parham. I only know him as Parham. Like, I know it's Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Parham. But in my brain, his name is Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Parham. That is his full legal name in my head. I know it's not really
his
full legal name. But everyone knows him as Parham, and when I talk to him, I just call him Parham, and he's like, that was literally just the name of a wizard character I had once and made a spell card product that everyone downloaded, and it wasn't originally me. It was just a character and a product name, and now he's Parham.
Yes. Yeah, I found myself talking to family about my work, and at one point I'll bring up Parham, and they'll be like, wait, who's Parham? And I'll be like, oh, yeah, he's someone I work with. He's like, is that his name? I'm like, oh, right. No, I guess it's not, but it is. And then I have to go through my head. Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Parham. Jefferson J. Thacker is his name.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You have to, like, think of the whole thing. I mean, like, as much as my brain has stored it as the full name, I also like referencing him to other people as the full. I'm like, oh, I was talking to Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Parham. And they're like, what was all that? That was a lot of what? Oh, Parham. Friend of mine named Parham. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we do have some more questions. Timotheus is asking if you have CUP products, can they be updated to Infinite? Community use policy products, can they be updated to Infinite?
So kind of. Yes and no. Can you just take the community use policy that exists, slap an Infinite logo on it, and then throw it on the site? You could do that. What the agreement says, though, is that you can't do that. So the agreement says that it can't be existing anywhere else. So theoretically, if you were to pull it from absolutely every other place you've ever linked it for the life of that product, which if it's a community use policy might be a lot of places, it can't exist anywhere else. It has to only be sold and exist on Infinite. So watch that. What's up?
Yeah. Now, theoretically, if I posted like an archetype on Reddit, on the Pathfinder 2E creation subreddit that I love so much, I could double the number of feats on it and publish the new feats exclusively in with the old feats.
With the old feats.
Theoretically.
Yes.
Right?
So, okay. Yeah. So you can take something you worked on and expand it and make it more, I would recommend, because you have access to Galarian Impact World's IP, intellectual property, that you add stuff like that in there. So if I made a Pathfinder First Edition Brawler archetype that focused more on being like a weapon user and less on mystic stuff, which sounds pretty cool, which I, in fact, have. I could say, well, rather than being on wherever it is, like, I think I released it, this archetype is sort of bare bones for a friend who was like, I wish I had an archetype like this. And I said, all right, you win. I could take it, revise it, throw out some cool fluff about, like, where in Galarian they use it. Maybe in gladiatorial pits. That sounds pretty cool. And, like, throw that out there and then sell it as a product.
Right. So,
pretty cool. Actually, that's not a bad idea. I might do that.
Go for it.
Where in Galarian would they need brawlers that didn't do mystic stuff but just kicked a bunch of butt?
Mana waste, because magic is bad.
Yes, mana waste. Okay. Evil Robot Games saying choosing how much to preview is a thing all its own. Yep, you get full control over how many pages and which pages you add to your preview. And that is its own fun marketing game, which if you get really fun about it, also goes into layout. So if you know that you're like, you know what, I'm going to show them the cover, obviously, the table of contents, obviously, and maybe the welcome to screen, like the this is what this book is about. Thanks for buying it. Here's where it fits in Galarian. And then like the first page of the class or archetype or something that just has a little bit of information, just a little bit of a teaser, but not enough to actually play it. It's perfect.
Yeah. If you don't plan on selling your book as print, by the way, just a little thing I want to throw out there. Mm-hmm. I would really appreciate if people would hyperlink certain products. If you have a class with a bunch of different spells, all from different books, like for example, you could hyperlink to the Archives of Nethys in your product. Like there is a chance, I suppose, in 20 years, Archives of Nethys might be down and like, okay, go update it or something. But I would appreciate it as a player if I was looking at a book while I'm playing on VTT and I could just click and it would open a browser and take me to the thing so I could check the source.
That's pretty good.
This is just me throwing out here.
That's a good recommendation. Evil Robot Games, a veteran of the drive-through / one bookshelf platform, says that if they have a 60-page book, they might not do it like a full-size per-page preview of the whole thing, because that's giving it away, but they'll do the what they call a quick preview. Quick preview is like a little tiny thumbnail image where you can't really read the text, and is saying, just put the whole thing on there. Might as well just flip through it, because honestly, it's not big enough to read. I was looking at Vellum and Lace, and I was like, can you even read this? And it's like, there are blocks of text. This is a narrative. I'm like, cool. This is useless. versus like, I think our regular one is just the first few pages. So you can get like the opening of the prologue and be like, is this anything I even want to read? The answer is yes.
It is. It totally is.
Go buy it.
Go get it.
It's 50 cents. It's cheap. It is the cheapest I could be and still have them pay any attention to how many copies I've sold. So. That is for you.
Yes, right. Definitely check that out. Before I forget, I do want to plug myself a little.
Oh, gosh.
One more little thing.
Yes, plug as much as you want.
Friday at 4 o'clock. Yes, Friday at 4 o'clock, I have a Twitch stream where I am going to be reviewing everything that came out on Infinite that week that interested me enough that I had budget for. So go watch.
That is so cool.
And I will skim through PDFs and point out stuff that I really liked and talk about whatever it is that I want.
That is amazing. Remember to put your link in the chat for the people who are watching live with us.
Oh, sure.
Or watching it on video on demand. That is really cool. That is a good piece of advice. My last parting words, obviously plugging myself because that is what we do in the world. If you are interested in Vellum and Lace, and I hope that you are, you can find us on, I think the best place is on Twitter. You can go to Twitter and follow Vellum and Lace. And if you do, we will put all of our updates there. You can also subscribe to our Patreon, where if you don't want a bunch of extra cool stuff that comes with it, that's fine. But we'll have announcements on like stuff that's coming out and what you can look at and stuff.
Makes sense. I will link to the Vellum and Lace Twitter in the chat as well.
Uh-huh. I got it to it before you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's twice. You lose. I was faster.
I anyway. Lost.
So, is there any last thing you want to say before we say goodnight?
I'm super excited about Infinite. I love being able to pick little bits of content and support creators that I support and see what everyone's awesome ideas are. This is going to make 2E a super exciting system, more so than it already is. And it's going to be great.
I am excited for the stories. I mean, so Chris A. Jackson wrote all those fun nautical-themed Pathfinder tales, is going back and already has three products out that are little short stories that are like the origin stories of a lot of his main original characters. And sort of going into those like things that he had had in his head, he said, for a long time and have just been sitting on because like there's no book to put them in. And a lot of the time when you write a book, you know what that backstory is, but you haven't written it because that's not what the book's about, right? The book's about the now story. So he's been able to write those in some short bits of fiction that are like sitting in the other room on my PDF reader open, ready to go. And that is what I'm going to do before bed. So
I need to get someone on Paizo to use my merchant from Grand Bazaar on a blog post so I could use his picture for a product and write a short story.
Oh my God. can you just use page 72? Just put the art on there. It's fine.
The cover of the book will just be an Arial font in the middle. Page 72, Grand Bazaar.
That's right. Page 72, Grand Bazaar. Just go there. That's what this character looks like. You can see them there. Please put it on there. Right. And that's honestly, that's like one of the reasons I bought art for it, because I am a fool who overspends money. But if you want specific art, you're going to have to do that. Otherwise, you're stuck with what's on the blog, which is a lot of stuff, honestly. If I were to do it all over again, I would probably do the same thing because I'm an idiot. But if I was to do it again after that, I would probably go and like look through the art and be like, what are art assets that are like esoteric, like they're not a specific. Well, like I don't want to grab Sioni. I could write Sioni. I don't want to grab Sioni. I do want to grab Sioni. But what I would do is I would find characters that looked interesting. That are like, oh yeah, there's a character that looked interesting that was in that one book from 8 years ago, and then grab that art that no one's seen for 8 years, unless they're reading that book, and then be like, this is my character now. I've decided to name them and give them a personality, and this is them, and I already have free art, and I've just decided.
Exactly. That's great. There is so many images. I mean, I was working on a web crawler to just take all the images from the blog.
Oh my gosh.
And I let it run for 8 hours, and like I only got like 12% done, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna look through the blog when I want a picture. This is way too much. And that's they awesome. Do, yeah, yep.
I'm sorry, go and ahead, they do.
Oh, I was going to say, they do a good job of tagging the blog. Like, I was looking for pictures of Harrow cards. Oh. There's a tag for Harrow. And I'm like, oh, here's all the Harrow pictures they've released on community use. Great.
Really? I need some Harrow for reasons. Read up.
Oh, I wish. I wish there was a Roll20 Harrow deck so badly.
Mm-hmm. Love of being asked, last question of the night before we say goodbye. Does the Infinite website have a way of alerting customers that new content was added to the site? Other OBS platforms do. I'm going to say probably then. It is like a copy, paste, edit replica of other sites. If you are familiar with DriveThruRPG and what it can do, then all of these sites can do the same thing. Basically. Because they're just
papers.
So yeah, they have all the same capabilities and the same everything. So yeah, so that is a way to, I just don't know the ins and outs of it. So I'm just going to say, sure.
But yeah. Yeah. There should be a way. I'm not sure how. There are add-ons you could get that will check a site for you every, you could set it for like an hour and it will just tell you when it's updated. So you could set it to Pathfinder Infinite and then it will tell you when there's something updated because the newest Infinite titles should update, you know, whenever. I mean, you should go to the newest Infinite titles page, not the front page, because otherwise you'll see all the awards and stuff it'll update you for. But that's even just from a really... Roll
for Combat says you can set a billion alerts on that site, and I believe him. Okay. That's pretty cool. Okay, so like the consumer sets the alert and is like, I want to see more from this, like from this publisher, from this author. And then it just, when it sees something, it goes, hey, I found a new thing. Okay, oh, cool. I have a confirmed yes. All right, great.
Oh, cool.
Cool. Yes. Fantastic. I think. Steven says you can set anything you want. You can drill down very deep. I'm going to go explore those tomorrow. New adventure alerts, fiction alerts. I'm just going to get all the fiction alerts because I'm a sucker for those. All right. Before we go, any last things?
I'm great.
10 minutes ago. And then we're still talking.
I'm on cloud nine today. I got both hardcover releases. Grand Bazaar and Guns and Gears both came out.
Yes, I am super excited. It's been a very good day. I had so much fun hanging out with you here on Geek Together, like the name of the show. Hanging out. The banner has a Geek Together question mark. I don't know. It sure is. We are geeks and we geek together. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Good night and go buy some stuff on Infinite.
Bye, everyone.